In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. We have two very interesting texts before us to deal with, and they both deal with the issue of evil. One presents itself supernaturally in people and in pigs, while the other is embedded in our human condition, the people we are without God. In our gospel text, Jesus was met by two men possessed by demons who completely controlled them. It's interesting that many of the ordinary people, those not possessed by evil spirits, including the disciples, did not have the same insight into Jesus' identity that these two demon-possessed men did. What do you want with us, Son of God? Up until now, Jesus usually referred to himself as the Son of Man and never the Son of God. Have you come here to torture us before our time? Now, in the ancient Jewish world, there was a belief that demons would be free to roam the earth until the judgment day came. They did this by taking possession of people. This possession was often associated with disease, because disease was the consequence of sin and a sign of being in Satan's power. And that's why when Jesus expels a demon, there's often a healing associated with that in the Gospels. By driving out these spirits, Jesus is declaring the justice and mercy that's been prophesied in Amos's words. By driving out these spirits, Jesus is declaring the Messianic age. He's declaring that the kingdom of God is here. Have you come here to torture us before the time? The demons cried out. What time are they talking about? They're talking about the time of God's justice. The people and the disciples cannot see, cannot discern God's time. But the demons do. They know who the Son of God is. They know that he is a threat to their power. They know that justice and judgment are now at hand. It's God's time in the very person of Jesus. The demons then beg Jesus to let them go into a nearby herd of pigs. And Jesus agrees to this. And as soon as they enter the pigs, the whole herd rushes headlong over a cliff and into the water below. The pig farmers all rush off to the nearest town and tell what has happened. The townspeople immediately came out in search of Jesus. And not surprisingly, they begged him to go somewhere else. Now you might be thinking, it seems rather high-handed of Jesus to destroy a whole herd of pigs in this way. But you have to remember, in the eyes of the Jew, these pigs were horribly unclean. And if you were a Jew, you might say there was no better place to put the demons. However, it was the demons that ultimately brought about the destruction of these animals, not Jesus. But understandably, the owners of the pigs found it difficult to see it the same way. For these Gentiles, in this story this afternoon, it was bacon for breakfast and it was ham for dinner. For all the villagers, Jesus destroyed their cash crop. In the end, Jesus isn't welcome and they kick him out of the town. The people preferred their pigs above their Saviour. The people only see the loss of income from the death of their animals. The people seek after material prosperity at the expense of true life this afternoon. And it's a sad indictment that Amos brings to our 21st century lives also. Amos and Jesus tell us and show us that we need to seek God and live by recognizing the complexity of the world's problems, but not to fall prey to the hatred and the absolutism that is so entrenched in this world today. The Bible does not instruct us to hate people, but rather to hate evil. I have seen and I have known many Christians who have turned their hate on people whose lifestyles they considered evil. And God never tells us to do that. In fact, hating people who are in sin is just as despicable as the sin that you are hating. As the Bible says, you will heap hot coals on your head if you engage in such self-righteous practices. Here's the idea this afternoon. Start by hating the evil in your own life, and then do something about that. Ask God to refine you and to turn your heart towards good and to turn your heart towards love. Once you have started dealing with yourself, begin to pray against the evil one who is deceiving the world. Pray for those in the bondage of sin. Contend for those whose lives are contaminated, whose lives are lost, whose lives are hopeless. And yes, we are to hate all that is evil. But just make sure that you love people in the process. However, sadly, most of us realize that we care a whole lot more about what our neighbor thinks about us than what we do about what God thinks about us. We're fine this afternoon with giving Jesus our lives as long as he keeps his fingers out of our livelihood. We will follow the golden rule of the Bible as long as it doesn't interfere too much with the gold that rules our lives. Do we believe that Jesus can help people? Do we believe that Jesus can heal what's broken? Do we believe that Jesus shows up in the most surprising ways, amongst the most surprising people, to do the most surprising things? I truly hope we believe this at Christ Church Melton, because the future of our church depends on it. Now let me leave you with some challenging questions from Jesus and Amos. Who do you care more about, people or pigs? Do you care about loving good and seeking good? Or are you more concerned with your own livelihoods that we overlook the needs of others? In this gospel story, Jesus represents the other. He has come from the other side of the lake. He is the stranger. He is the subject of fear. He's the subject of intolerance. He is the stranger that nobody wants to know. Hebrews 13:12 says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing." Jesus in Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 speaks to the church at Ephesus, and also speaks to us. He says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." Here is a church, the church of Ephesus, that prefers pigs over people. Jesus is on the outside. He's the stranger. And he's knocking at the door. Here's a church that pursued a certain standard of lifestyle and overlooked hospitality and compassion. Therefore, the deep question we must ask ourselves from these texts: do we welcome Jesus, or do we send him packing? My earnest prayer for this church is that we believe, that we truly believe Jesus can help people, that we truly believe Jesus can heal what's broken this afternoon, that we truly believe Jesus shows up in the most surprising ways, amongst the most surprising people, to do the most surprising things. That's a church that prefers people over pigs. And I pray that we would be such a church. So let us pray together now.
as we close our service. Gracious Lord, so many people live their lives in the deadly grip of things that only desire their death, in mental illness, in physical illness, in addictions, possessed by their own possessions. So many powers drive us away from the wholeness and peace that you give to us. Father, don't lose faith in this church. Keep us and keep coming to us. Keep challenging us. Keep knocking at our door. Don't let us drive you out of our neighbourhood, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.